In Deuteronomy, it records that King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephaites. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. 13 foot long. Big bed. Now, obviously, he's a giant person. We can't exactly find out what size he was, but we're assuming he's pretty big. But his bed was huge. And it's interesting to note that mattress makers has been moving beds from the double to the queen and now the king size bed. And I suspect you'll be able to get bigger ones as well. And they started bringing these in 1941, was that when they moved up. So prior to that, and I'm sure quite a few people here can still remembering having just a double bed, a small bed. And now the queen is the standard, and for those who want to, they move to the king size bed. Because things just keep getting supposedly bigger and apparently better all the time. Whether that's true is yet to be seen. But when we read in the scriptures of the king size bed, we don't get 13 foot long things. We get a small feeding trough where Jesus was placed. It gives an example of exactly where his ministry is going to go for the rest of his life. And it gives an example of how we are to carry that ministry out when we also are to go about extending his government. It's easy to get wrapped up at Christmas in the wrong things. What we need to do is get wrapped up in the right things. So hopefully you've either received or you're about to receive presents, and that would be nice. What's the attitude between how you give them and how you receive them? What's the heart behind these gifts? Is there peace in your household? Have you received all of these things with the right spirit? 1 John 2, 8 to 11 says this. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The Word of God pulls no punches when it says how you conduct yourself and the reasons for those conduct is more important than the actual outcomes. And so what we need to do is focus on what's going on internally, so that the expression externally has real meaning before God's throne. And it says that you must love your brothers and sisters in Christ. But not just them, but that's the first starting point. We need to show our love towards other people. Jesus demonstrates by his first act of being laid in a manger the humility which he was then to carry out throughout his whole life. It also demonstrates the people with whom he's coming to reach. I said earlier, one of my favorite songs is O Come Emmanuel, because it speaks to a nation which was long held wanting the Messiah but not knowing where the Messiah was coming from. And I'm going to read you a passage from Jeremiah to explain why they were in such tragedy. Jeremiah 14 says these words, verse 7 to 10. The people say, our wickedness has caught up with us, Lord, but help us for the sake of your own reputation. We've turned away from you and sinned against you again and again. Oh, the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be like a man astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we call on your name. Do not leave us. So there they are, acknowledging through the prophet, oh, we've acknowledged we've done sin. We've acknowledged we've done wrong. Saviour, come save us. And this is God's response. So this is what the Lord says to his people. You love to wander far from me and do not restrain yourselves. Therefore, I will no longer accept you as my people. Now I will remember all your wickedness and will punish you for your sins. What a horrific judgment that Jeremiah gives to the people and says, listen, I know you verbally saying outwards that you want to apologize and you need God, but God's having none of it. Now is the time of suffering. Now is the time where the nation, having tested God's patience for so many years, will finally be held accounted. And so it's from there that they move forward, asking for the Messiah. And we hear this passage that the government will be upon his shoulders, that when the Messiah comes, when this baby grows, he will conduct himself and establish the kingdom. And what's interesting and what we've got to bear in mind is for everything I speak about now, whilst the government is upon his shoulders, the shoulders of Jesus Christ, its exercise falls squarely upon you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. What the words speak to us about Jesus coming is for those who are poor, both physically and spiritually, who've acknowledged and said, I need somebody. That's the Saviour who comes to help and reconcile back to the living God. The person who's hungry, both physically and spiritually, that's who God reaches out to through Jesus Christ. So he feeds the 5,000 and then speaks to them about the Word of God. The person who's oppressed, both physically and spiritually, he comes to a nation which is dominated by the Romans, and he says to them, you must love them. To the person who feels disconnected and abandoned, the gospel is a gospel of hope. It says, no longer will you be dwelling in your sins. To those who are lonely, the gospel should be saying, come be welcomed into our family of believers. Become part of the kingdom of God and join your local community of faith. And then the person who seeks freedom, freedom from oppression, freedom from long-held spiritual domination in sins, freedom just to be the human being that God wants us to be created for. And so if you follow, and we can't go through it this morning, if you follow the life of Jesus Christ as he grows, this is what this incarnation speaks to. It speaks to of a government which wants people to know that its king of that government is humble of heart and is willing to demonstrate and give totally of himself for those who will be under his authority. And then says, for all who acknowledge that and step under that authority, that is our task to carry out for the entirety of our life. Which is why in Micah we read, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give of my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Micah poses these questions. What do I need to do? Bring offering and offering. Bring demonstration, demonstration. Show how amazing I am by sacrificing all these animals. Then he answers the very question and says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's not about being showy. It's not about extravagant demonstrations. It's about the day-to-day exercise of the government of God, which has been entrusted to each and every one of us. And if we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I'm assuming since you're sat here this morning, that's important to you. What does the Lord require of us? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That means that we have an opportunity to demonstrate this kingdom to, in the coming year, to everybody around us. It means we have the opportunity of hope. So the first thing we can do is become content with the blessings we have. Go count your blessings. Go gather with your families. Go say what good things have happened. And this is a pre-warning for coming Sunday. What good things have happened this past year, and what things you are hoping to see God move in the coming year. Become content with those blessings. And then the next thing is to make a conscious decision, and understand this, to surrender our enjoyment for the blessing of others. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying surrender your joy. I'm not saying surrender contentment, because joy and enjoyment are two entirely different things. But the humble of heart, the servant, says, I'm willing to give up of something which brings just blessing to me to bring blessing to others because of Jesus Christ. And the incarnation, which says the most powerful being ever to exist comes to dwell as a human child and leave heaven to come down to a manger on earth, that demonstrates what we are meant to be about as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we can know all the right theology in the world, but if it's not shown outwardly, it says we're going to demonstrate justice to others, we're going to seek mercy and love it, and we're going to walk humbly, then all our theology means nothing. So we can make a conscious decision in this coming year to say our enjoyment will take a back seat to the blessing of others. And then we can start to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a blessing to those who will respond, to say, I've been blessed by God. I recognize it. I've spent time. I understand where it is. You too can as well. Would you like to hear about it? Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The only real question is, do you want to do that this coming year? I'll leave that between you and our God. Thank you. Let's conclude our service. Let's use our voices to praise God and acknowledge His majesty. Please stand.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, that Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new King was born today, and man will live forevermore. Because of Christmas Day. Yes, trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. That man will live Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. Them found no place to born she child, not a single room was inside. Hark now, hear the angels sing, little King born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. And trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say. In a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new King born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
May the Holy Spirit bless us, may he guide us, and may the words of Micah be true in us. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.